What about us? What about us? What about us? We've got a few topics for discussion for tonight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this evening's episode of Let's Do Radio, of Keeping It Real with Sergeant James Parks out of Yakima, Washington. Today is Thursday, June 2nd, 2022, and I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Alcu Designs, broadcasting to our listeners worldwide. Some of these topics we're going to hit on this evening, another mass shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, unfolded, okay? What are we doing? What about us? I'm going to play a two-minute clip from Senator Chris Murphy. What are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African-American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in the classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job, of putting yourself in a position of authority, if your answer is that as the slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing? What are we doing? Why are you here? If not to solve a problem as existential as this. This isn't inevitable. These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else. Nowhere else do little kids go to school thinking that they might be shot that day. Nowhere else do parents have to talk to their kids, as I have had to do, about why they got locked into a bathroom and told to be quiet for 5 minutes just in case a bad man entered that building. Nowhere else does that happen except here in the United States of America, and it is a choice. It is our choice to let it continue. What are we doing?
What are we doing? We can start by keeping Let's Do It Radio on the air by going to Cash App, $ANAISEVALCOUR, because these shows are not free. You have to pay for them. So if you want to donate, please donate. Again, it's Cash App, and it's $ANAISEVALCOUR. And tonight, Sergeant Parks will lead a discussion on the topics about us. So join in the conversation at 845-241-9985. But first, let's give a great big round of applause for the guest, Sergeant Parks, out of Yakima, Washington, as he keeps it real. And he will take it away after we give him some love. Sergeant Parks, what are we doing? And what about us? Let's start. Let's start.
Well, thank you, Inez, for those.
You're welcome.
Great accolades. You're always so wonderful. You know, we had on our last discussion that we had on Tuesday with the very eloquent group, and what can we do, you know, about our situation, about black people's situation and stuff, and then how everything that's taking place affects us.
Yeah.
We talk about the mental health situation. We talk about the poverty. We talk about the injustice. We talk about the encroachment on voting rights in lieu of the January 6th episode. Black people started voting, and all of a sudden they start shutting down the voting polls, not just in our face. You know, the
you can't have no water either.
I'm trying to tell you, the Southern Poverty Law Center has reported not in 2021 that there are almost 1,300 hate groups in America. They published a map of the hate groups, and if you want to get that map, you need to go to www.splcenter.org/hate map. Now this group has been around a long time, and what they do is they find different cases all over the United States, and they actually find out who the groups are, what they're doing, and you know, do some research on them, and if they violated somebody's rights or whatever, they help sue them and try and take away their ability to try and you know, do their hate. But there's just so many of them that it's not even funny. You should actually go online and actually look at that map. You can even pull that map down, and you know, it's 488 groups that are anti-government groups, and it's 733 known hate groups: Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, white nationalists, the racist skinhead, the Christian identity, and so on and so on. You know, and we do have some members of the GOP that are actively supporting
in those groups.
Yeah.
And you said how many groups were there?
There's 733 hate, what is called as hate groups, and those groups can be found on the FBI. If you go to the FBI website and talk about hate groups, they're on there.
All you have to do is type in hate map, I think, or hate groups or something, and it came up. It was like the first thing that came up. 733. That's twice as long as there are days in 2 years. That's just crazy.
That's just the one they know of. You know, some young people and stuff in the South, in the Southeast, or you know, they go
Florida.
To college. They're in the military and they're on the police force. They're starting these young groups, and they have a very sophisticated internet system. Like the kid that did the shooting
in Uvalde, Texas.
Kid, he had been on this website, and it's so sophisticated and stuff that you can go in and you can hide your identity and you can chat with a select group of people. You know, and it's absolutely horrible. And
it's,
of course,
as a matter of fact, I watched a movie called Hater today, and it's like, okay. And it was just like playing in the back of, you know, while I was doing something else, and he disguised his voice while he was talking to somebody, and, you know, you can get all these guns, and they show you how to, what to do. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, a lot of these things need to be banned, you know, but it's, somebody's right. It's the First Amendment, 21st Amendment, or Second Amendment, whatever amendment. They need to abolish some of them amendments. So I'm sorry, part of the person. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a, and I don't understand how many of our sisters and brothers actually know what is taking place. You know,
as far
for what
as,
it was, as far,
far
as,
what? As
these different hate groups and then what they're actually, mm-hmm. you know, trying, what their mission is, you know. Their mission is to just cleanse people of color out of this place. Okay? That's what their mission is.
By any means necessary, right?
By any means necessary. And I can't understand for the life of me. I do understand, because it's all about power. So these hate groups can keep certain people in the power, can keep them in the government. You know, a lot of these groups are not really how you call destitute or poor. These people have good jobs. Like I say, they're all
and
hate
begets hate.
That's mm-hmm. right. You know,
hate begets hate, and it's inbred and ingrown into the children. You know, you need to hate this color. You need to hate that color. It's like, what did we do to you? What did we do to you that you hate us so bad?
Well, the thing about it is, it's all about power. Maintaining power and control over somebody else, you know, which started before they even hit the shores of this great, great country, you know.
Uh-huh.
But what are we going to do about it? What we should be doing about it, basically, is talking to each other, understanding that these things are taking place, and then educate our young people on how they, what they should be trying to do to face some of this stuff happen to them.
That's crazy.
We should be.
It's just
we
sad.
Should be trying to get out.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is sad. Real sad. We should be teaching them, you know, and listening to them too, because they have something to say, and they are quite intelligent. They have something to say, but we need to just be talking to them about, we do have a rich history, so people want to really say we don't have no history, you know, we don't have nothing to offer, and that's really not true, just to make us
think
we're worthless. Yeah, we're worthless. You know, you
that's
can't
how they want us to feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that we run around and stuff not having self-esteem and thinking and stuff that we don't fit in. You know, we're just a whole segment of the community and stuff that just really don't fit in, and we're just being tolerated. You know. So I think that's the first step. And these hate groups, that the Southern Poverty Law Center, like I say, they have a plan. They would send out these different surveys. You know, in fact, I got one in the mail about 10 days ago. I was supposed to mail it back. Supposed to mail it back within 10 days, and it's quite something else. To tell the truth,
Wow.
You know, on the very first topic and stuff, they have listed hate groups, and most of the topics that we're going to be talking about tonight, economic mm-hmm. justice, you know, it should be economic and social justice. They should always go hand in hand when you talk about a group of people that's being marginalized, okay, and being able to get into the mainstream of America and get good jobs mm-hmm. and be able to, you know, have a good moral foundation. They also have the questions are like this too. This is what got me. Hate groups. And it's asking, do you agree with federal government officials who say that white supremacist extremists pose the most lethal threat among domestic terrorists in this country? I agree with that. You know,
that the police, you say?
It says, do you think, now this is a survey, this is part of their survey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with the federal government officials who say that white supremacist extremists pose the most lethal threat amongst domestic terrorists in this country?
Hmm.
And then they have yes, no, and not sure. You know.
Okay.
The other question is, do you believe that hate, racism, and intolerance became better or worse in the last 6 months?
It's worse. And we do have another caller that just joined us. That's crazy. Caller with the last four is 6461. You want to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from, please?
This is Bobby Jackson calling from White Plains, Maryland.
Hey, how are you doing today? I haven't heard from you in quite some time.
All is good.
Good. You doing well?
Yes, all is well.
Good. Are you just a listener, or did you have anything you'd like to say this evening?
I'm just listening this evening.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for calling in there, Mr. Jackson. Jump in
thank
where you.
You
fit in. You know, it's a pleasure to have you on. We're just talking about different topics and then how do they really affect black people. You know, and the first topic we talked about was hate groups. You know, doing this research with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and this survey, they have a map that shows where most of these groups are. And man, you should look at this map. And if you want to get the map, just go to the.
You can just type in hate map. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Just type in hate
map
and it comes up directly.
Just pump hate map, and it'll
mm-hmm.
show you, man. It's crazy. You know, they got more hate groups up here in Washington State, man, than they do in some of these other states. It's really crazy.
I don't know. Florida's looking kind of healthy there a little bit. I mean,
Florida. Well, you know,
in California,
it's warm climate, Florida. New York, Wisconsin, California seems to be the place most represented by these groups. And there's 733 that they call it hate groups. And but a lot of times we don't know how that affects us. When we start thinking about white supremacists and Ku Klux Klan, half of us never even see, you know, those people that we can recognize.
Right. But it doesn't say, I mean, it could also, doesn't mean it has to be like KKK. It could be like hate groups for LGBTQ. It could be hate groups for Pan-American Asians. It could be hate groups for just anything. They're just so upset that they just hate stuff. So, I mean, it'd be nice if we could look at it and break it down.
Yeah, they have specific groups in here, like you said, anti-LGBTQ. There's 65 different groups, in America that are just focusing on that. Then they got anti-Muslim, they got everything you can think of. Then just general hate groups. I guess they just hate all people of color, period. They might even hate themselves. They hate just to be hated and stuff. But what's profound about that is that you have certain members of Congress that are actually promoting this kind of rhetoric.
Hate.
I think it probably started with Mr. Trump when he said, when they had the riot and stuff, and all the people got killed, and they talked to Mr. Trump, and he said, there was good people on both sides, there's bad people on both sides, what I'm saying? What are you thinking about? To even mention that those people they get out in the streets and there's a black group too. I don't think that they're calling them a hate group. I don't see their name on this, but they are scrapped. All of them got AR-15s or some kind of assault weapons. They're wearing black.
Yes.
I read about them.
They're, I think they're called militants, the black militants or something like that. That's what they're called.
My daughter my daughter schooled me into those and stuff, But what are we going to do about it? I think just knowing what's going on in your own community, like this map here, this map is saying, like, we got a couple of hate youth right here. Yeah, come on.
Who
would have thought that? But, like in Coeur d'Alene, we know that they're in Coeur d'Alene. They were a part of the riots and stuff in Portland and stuff in 2021. So, and then they have been active rioting. Well, they had up until maybe about 7-8 months ago. I guess the police department or the sheriff's department actually stopped them because they were just going, they had these great big flags and stuff on them, big trucks, nice trucks and stuff with the big old wheels. And they had these huge flags and stuff, on the back of them going up and down, was that Yakima Avenue? Up and down Yakima Avenue. But Yakima Avenue runs all the way from Terrace Heights, all the way west, to West Valley and so on. They are around. We should just be aware of that. And then know. And the thing about this is that they are members of society with a lot of power, police officers, veterans of the military, active military, And they found this out after January 6th during the January 6th investigation, okay, as to what was taking place. I don't know. I served 22 years in the military. And when I first got in, there were some soldiers that claimed to be members of the Ku Klux Klan, but the military dealt with them, you know, very
right.
Discreetly. That's right. Mm-hmm. But you don't hear that now. I don't even hear anything that's taking place. And of course, a number of them are being prosecuted and stuff for what they did at the Capitol.
Correct.
Dignified leaders of community, you know, held a lot of weight, had very good jobs. Yeah. But the rest of that survey is really interesting, and it covers hate groups, voting rights, economic justice. Like I said, it should be
Let's talk about voting rights. Let's talk about voting rights.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Because I'm not sure for sure, and I'm going to probably look it up. Isn't there a time limit on our voting rights? Is that for real, or am I just playing, hearing things?
What do you mean, time limit?
I thought, like, at a certain point in time, we weren't going to be able to vote as black people. I thought there was a time limit or something that was coming up for us not being able to vote, or our voting rights are being taken away.
Well, you know, the Equal Rights Amendment and stuff is probably what you're talking about, that they always try
probably.
To ratify every year instead of just giving us, you know, it covers all that, what we're going to be able to do. But for some reason, they don't want to pass that and just give us those different rights. And you just have to look it up and then see what specific ones and stuff. But that, to me, is a smack in black folks' face. Okay, they're saying that they don't want to go ahead on and do it, but I guess the it's something for them to haggle over, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, something for them to just haggle over. Okay, well, we're not going to pass it. We're not going to pass that. You know, when it actually it affects 44 million African Americans. It really does, but a lot of us don't think that way. You know, we won't even get out in the streets and start marching and stuff to get equal rights. This is the thing. What are our equal rights? Okay, so if they have to vote on it every year, there's something wrong with that picture. You know? Something wrong with that picture. Have to vote on the standard for what black folks can I guess exist. Oh well, no, we're not gonna pass this, or we're gonna pass this and put a sunset clause on it where it goes for the next 12 months. We'll be able to do it, then we'll bring it back up. Okay, till we get it passed in the next year. So you know, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it's at now, but I know that the GOP is blocking a lot of legislation. Of course, we're heavily involved in a woman's right to do what they want to with their own bodies. Yeah, and they're holding that hostage. So the states, I think it's 7 or 8 states, it might even be more than that, that just came out and made their own laws about it. And they are draconian laws.
A lot of times people do that.
Yeah, you see, in my opinion and stuff is, you know, I told you this before, I said this before, you know, white women are having babies. there's not as many babies and stuff as they could, and that's where we got that the replacement theory. You know, in the last year, they really come out with the replacement theory of why we want people of color and stuff to come into the country and stuff with great numbers so that they can replace white people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually saying and stuff that those people of color are going to come into the United States and they're going to join the Democratic Party so that they will outnumber white folks and stuff here and then be able to replace white people. When I first heard, that's no joke. I mean, it sounds like a cartoon, but you just go research it. Go listen to it.
I know. I did remember we talked about the Great Replacement Theory.
I'm saying, what? You know, and then with the critical race theory thing, they got that twisted around where now that they don't want their kids being taught to hate themselves, just like those kids and stuff can't go on their cell phones or on their cellular phones and then find out anything that they want to find out or go to TikTok or wherever or Dipdop or whatever they doing to find that out. It's absurd. I mean, can you believe it? I mean, when I first heard it, I really couldn't put my finger on it. And what's going on? And I started reading about it and stuff. And all you got to do is really follow the publishers of those different comments to see where they are. I say follow the money, honey. Okay,
you always say that.
That's right. You're gonna get that. Hey, well, I think that's absolutely correct. You know, absolutely correct. Just like the party who wants to talk about poverty and stuff, all of a sudden, now those people couldn't wait until we got done with the pandemic to start showing us just how much wealth, how much they were worth. And they went to racing against each other, all the big billionaires and stuff, I think four or five of them. Now they want to build spaceships, and then they want to go let everybody say, oh, they're going to the moon, or they're going to outer space. Well, if you tell me you're going out of space in a spaceship, I'm thinking you're going to land on the moon or Mars or somewhere, and then you're going to explore that, and then you're going to come back and do a reentry. It's not even that, for Christ's sake. They're spending billions of dollars to create
to waste
these
gas.
Rockets. Yeah, and then taking people just to the outer edge of space. I forget how many miles it is. They go up and then, boom, they turn around and they come back. And then they talk about trying to get NASA to qualify them as being astronauts. Is that absurd?
No.
I guess you and I are
astronauts then.
They flaunt their money. They are flaunting their wealth. While people are dying, you know, a million people dying behind the pandemic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, well,
too much now about that monkey pox. It's just funny how things, you know, they just trying to get you to think about this and think about that and make you worry about this, make you worry about that. It's like, really, y'all? Come on.
Well, keep your eyes and ears open because it's something's gonna come out there. You know, my theory, I have my own theory, and you always tell me, you're so crazy. You know, I have my own theories and stuff. You know, the timing is absolutely right, you know, for somebody to interject this stuff. You know, now we got the war, and now gas is sky high. Well, who did that actually affect? Poor people.
Affecting.
People just making it from day to day, you know.
And not even really making that.
I'm trying to tell you, and then everybody's talking about, okay, well, you know, I can't, I need to get these products to the market and can't get them to the market and stuff, and because the gas is high on me, so I'm going to turn the cost has to go to the consumer, you know. So they just dump all those costs on the consumers, and they just making out like fat cats, period.
Fat cats and bandits.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
price
yeah.
gouging, and, you know, it's like, and that's another thing, I think another way to, quote, unquote, kill people and, you know, to get, I really do, I think they're just trying to think of anything they can to get rid of people because there's too many. So, raise the price of gas so you can't get the food, so you can't eat, so you then everything's gone off of the shelf, so you can't get nothing. So you go start robbing folks, and then you get crazy because you don't have no food. Then you have these mass shootings which kill more people. Then you have these funerals, and other people pass away because they're heartbroken because one of their loved ones passed away. So then that's another funeral. And then the next day we have this man who couldn't get help, and so therefore he went and saw the doctor, and so that's another mass shooting. And so what are we doing?
This guy was black, too.
I know.
Yeah,
that sounds like John Q. Doesn't that sound like John Q?
I'm trying to tell you, you know, made for movies. That script made for movies. Or he looked at that and figured that out, you know. Yeah, you know, he was suffering. The reporter said that he was suffering from pain. He had a back injury and was suffering from back pain. And then the doctor wouldn't prescribe him.
Prescribe.
No painkillers and stuff. And so he went postal, you know, and stuff.
But then he went
to the nearest pawn shop and bought him an AR-15 because everybody else has got AR-15. You want to do a massive amount of damages and stuff, you know. And let's see, it was 6 floors on this hospital, and he only killed 4 people.
But I think he went to kill the doctor and everybody who was around him. I believe if I heard that properly, correctly, and right. Is that correct?
Yeah. But, you know, it's the same thing. We get back to the same thing. Why do, hell, I got a gun, you know, but why do you need a high-capacity weapon, even if you're going to go hunting? Once you set off an AR-15, and the first couple of rounds, once you pull the trigger and the first couple of rounds, you're not going to be able to hit no animals because when they hear that click, crowd, guess what? They
out
of the area.
They there.
You know, unless you have them cornered someplace or in some kind of ravine where they can't go nowhere, and you can just stand there with that AR-15 locked and loaded and shoot, you know. You know.
And then what? They're going to fall down the ravine and you're going to be mad because your food just went down the drain.
Yeah.
They'll
leave the animals on the ground to rot anyway. Okay. It's not
you
like
know,
they were countrymen out in the woods trying to hunt for food, you know, kill only what
that's
you need,
crazy.
So to speak. You know, but they got AR-15, and every young kid, okay, that they have the ear to is saying, oh, that's the first thing I got to do is I got to get me an AR-15. And I don't know why with Texas, they don't have so many mass shootings and stuff with AR-15s and stuff, that they still are having problems changing the age. And you can go buy them. In Texas, they're 18. You can go buy an AR-15.
No,
you know,
it should be 25.
You can go get weapons without a background check. Now, just think.
It should be 25.
A black person goes into one of these pawn shops or something looking for an AR-15. You think they're going to ask you for some ID and all see this and all see that?
What's your firstborn? I need blood of your firstborn, and I need the finger off the next child to be born, because we want to make sure
Where you work at, boy? You don't even know how to have one of these kinds of weapons and stuff.
What's your address? You got an address?
Yeah.
I can come and get you.
Yeah, and then they got the ghost guns. Okay, I know we're talking about the ghost guns.
Mm-hmm.
It is just so incredible. Okay, and I guess that they came out with this because you can order a ghost gun for about $400 or more, what you want, okay? And they just come right off the computer. And then you get them in certain parts, and they can't be traced. I said, oh, my God, And they had the guy on last week. In fact, we were in Tacoma on Saturday. I seen a commercial about the ghost guns and stuff, and then, they got them that will put out as much firepower as a AR-15. Okay, it looks smaller than an AR-15, but it's the same results. They had this guy out there; he put it together and stuff. Then he went out there and then slapped the ammo thing and boom.
Uh-huh.
I said, wow.
Yeah, because that's crazy. Because I was talking about, let me see, Baltimore files lawsuit against ghost gun manufacturer Polymer 80. And there was a ghost gun recovered at the Forest Park High School police say. And that was, 2 hours ago? 7 hours ago. Baltimore sues ghost gun maker as state bans begin. They just need, this is crazy.
LA gangs and stuff, the Crips and the Bloods, they are loaded down with ghost guns, because they don't have to get no weapon and trying to file it down, because, any kind of weapon, once you fire it, then the signature and stuff, the lens and grooves and stuff is going to be on. Then you can mm-hmm. trace it back. But a ghost gun, wow, it's just incredible. But we don't have nothing definitive to say about that. We need to go and get this, Well, why would you want to get something illegal unless you're illegal, unless you're going to do something illegal,
Some people do it just to say that they have it, just to say that they acquired it. If such and such can get it, then I know I can get it. Where can I go to get it? Look online. Okay, Amazon. Prime.
That's right. You can get it.
I mean, and for one thing, when you try to buy a gun online, just like if you were trying to get into, if you were underage and tried to get into a porn site or whatever, they should have those regulations for guns as well. I think it should be up to 25 years old, not 21. I'm sorry, because even 21-year-olds is like, it's just crazy.
The Microsoft and all of those different tech sites and stuff, they are talking about the infringement on free speech. If people are killing people, they found the Green River Killer and this other guy, BTK, they found them by testing blood DNA from a relative. Okay. So if they can do that, they can do anything.
Right.
That's how they got caught. I mean, 40 years out there, married man, everybody was the pride of the community. Oh, he's a church going, fair going person, and his wife, they're just meant for each other. and it's got to appeal 40 people. Okay, 40 women. Mm. You know?
See, I remember the Green River Killer because that was in Washington, wasn't it?
Because
every time I think I went, every time I drive by, when I was going to Seattle, I see the Green River, Maple Valley, and then the Green River is like, oh, Lord, let me hurry up and get by this area. I don't want nobody coming to get me. Every time I did that, every time I go from Spokane to Seattle, that was what I did. I'd be flying in that area. Let me hurry up and get out this area because I don't want to be stopped and get stuck and
Yeah.
We're talking, and then we talk about a hate group. Okay, I was in Coeur d'Alene. Well, I was in Washington, Spokane. It's just, 30 minutes away from Coeur d'Alene. And it's like, okay, we used to have these stories, you know, don't go out here in Coeur d'Alene because if you get stuck, you know, you're going to get killed by the KKK. You know, they got cows out there and everything. I mean, they would scare us and everything from all that kind of stuff. And we had a choir event at the Coeur d'Alene, and I think who was there? I think Ruby Dee and Ozzie Davis were the guests out there. And this young man comes out. He says, "Oh, what is this? The Coon Convention or something like that?"
Yeah,
I think he got fired that night.
I think
he got fired that night.
We took a bus. We took a busload of kids and stuff up there. And it was around the time and stuff, which I forget which group this was. It was a father and his sons, and they had all of this property and stuff out there. You know, nice property. And then they beat somebody or try to strangle this one person. I forget whether he was black or white or whatever. The guy ended up suing him and took the property from him. Okay. Ended up suing their butt and took all that property from him. Well, that's not too far from that amusement park in Coeur d'Alene. Silverwood. It borders. Their property borders Silverwood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you can't stop them. They got so many different ways that they can hide and stuff that it's not even fun.
That's true. And they do. They will hide out and in a heartbeat. They will hide out in a heartbeat. And it's sad, but that's just how it is. That's just how it is. What other topics we got out here? Let me see what other topics before you go to the next one. Y'all can call us at 845-241-9985 to join the conversation with Sergeant Parks as he's keeping it real on this Thursday evening. As he talks about what about us, we're talking about us. You know who us is. IZ Eels. And again, the number is 845-241-9985. And the topics of the evening are hate groups, economic justice, voting rights, equitable education, gun rights, investments, keeping the money in our community. How do we get young people involved in our movement? What shall we call our movement? And for the good of the order. So please call us at 845-241-9985. Go ahead, Sergeant Parks.
Well, I think everything that's happened since the last election is why black people should register to vote. And I'm talking to a lot of people that I know everywhere. Some pro and some cons seem to think that, well, I've been a registered voter for all this while, and I go vote. And some voting conservative and some voting Democrat, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, like, wow, you know, what seems to be taking place, especially after the election. Of course, the election was a flawed election, and President Trump, he called it before the election was even. If you guys heard him, he said he said he was we were going to win, but the election and stuff was going to be rigged. Okay, to give everybody the thing about in case he didn't win, you know, that this was going to happen. And who would have thought at the time that everything was going to come down to Georgia, my home state, you know? And I was thinking about that, and wow, you know, somebody went back in those woods, because in several parts of Georgia, you can drive okay 40 miles back into the woods, and you don't never see nothing but woods. Okay. There's a whole bunch of black people and stuff, and you're saying, wow, I never would have thought that these many black people back, you know, back in here. Well, somebody took the time over several years, though, mainly Stacey Abrams and her group, you know. And I heard from my camp folks and stuff that they were coming, they had Mercedes, these brand new Mercedes vans, okay, that they was driving all the way back there and getting people registered to vote. Well, one of the things behind that was that they got them registered to vote, and they picked up their applications to vote, and then took it and then filed it for them, and then they called foul on that, okay, saying this is how you call it? It's fraudulent, okay?
Fraudulent voting?
Yeah, and then they come up with, oh, now you can't get no food or water in the lines while you wait in the lines. And those lines, man, are like, they're crazy.
Forever
especially
long.
Like for DeKalb County, and I think you was in DeKalb County when you went there, you should go. And there's only one place and stuff, so there might be 100,000 people trying to vote. It's insane.
Right.
You know, it's
insane.
And then
they reduce. And then they reduce the amount of voting sites.
The polls. People. They reduce the amount of polls that you could go to, and the time and stuff in which you could vote. You know, and I'm waiting for them to do that here in Washington State. But so far, they said the governor said that no, we're going to leave everything it is. And I do see that.
That's
all
the lady
of the
governor.
No, they just Governor Inslee. He's a guy. He, in fact, he's from
Seattle. Inslee. Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so all of the voting boxes and stuff are still, especially for our seven districts and stuff here in Yakima.
Uh-huh.
I'm waiting on them to do it because this is a conservative
right.
town, you know. But I don't know how long that's going to be when they just gave the Hispanic population, which are the majority through three districts, just gave them their own districts. Okay, so they have three districts and stuff, and then the prominent people have four districts. Okay?
Of course.
So, so I
of
guess
course.
It's the
what
plan
did,
on
and
the
what did I talk? What did I talk about the other night? What did I talk about the other night? Why don't we get our own government?
Yeah.
Why don't we have our own, not government, but our own, what do you call it, party? Why don't we have our own black independent party, shoot, and see how that works and see what they do on that?
Well,
that's
the party and stuff, I could probably say that, you know, can be workable. But the government is not going to be workable because they'll find everybody to come up and trying to file for that, you'll be bankrupt the next day because they'll figure out so many ways. Go on the computer, pull down your digits and stuff. And you got $100,000, you own your own home and own all your cars and property and stuff. You'll walk away from that and look up and go to your bank and say, you don't have no more money in this bank. You know, oh, we're cutting your lights off.
Why not?
And then we're taking your cars and stuff. You know,
that's crazy. That is sad. I mean, they just try to keep us down in so many ways. Okay, so,
Yeah, it is, you know, but we're not, if we would just simply try to figure out plans and stuff like we talked about on your show on Tuesday on how we could invest ourselves and keep the money going. Right. See, that's our problem. Our problem is that we don't have investments going in the African-American community, okay, to prop up whatever it is we want to do. You know, we want to buy real estate. We want to sell real estate. We want to have our own markets and stuff, you know. And that's because of a lack of trust that we have amongst ourselves. You know, like I keep referring to the Black Titan. You know, this guy was he didn't care. Nothing was going to stop him from doing what he was doing. He was hard. He started working in the mines, you know, and then so many black people were getting killed in the mines of Virginia. And he said, oh, no, this is not for me. So he saved his money. He seen some property on the outside of town. He saved his money. And then he wouldn't pay $35 a month until that property belonged to him. You know? Then he started lending loan association and stuff, and he started training young black people. And, you know, it was his thing was like, if you're going to get ahead in life, then you got to invest in yourself. This is how you can do that.
Right.
He showed them
how
to be lending and loan. He showed them how to be officers and to do lending and loan and studying real estate and different investments and stuff. You know, and he got almost all the black people in that town and stuff to put their money in that lending and loan association. You know,
and raise a lot of money so they have it in the community.
That's right. So they had it in the community, and then the people that ran the association was owners too. You know, how come we can't do that?
Right.
You know, we invest
because
in
we don't want. You already know that,
well,
Angel. I don't know why you're crying.
We'll be scared of why the wrong guy gonna get in there, and all of a sudden, and we got $1 million, and all of a sudden, and stuff. And here's the financial season. All of a sudden, we're broke.
Boy, what's it called?
Embezzlement.
Embezzlement.
Yeah, somebody done went and got slick in it. Well, you know, you got to trust somebody. That's what the whole deal is
about.
Yeah,
you
do. You know, you got to trust somebody. Trust and verify. That's what I always say. You know, trust and verify.
What they say? They have the two-stage verification now. Well, it takes two people to verify when somebody was to take out some money. So these days, people embezzle stuff, and you don't even know that they're doing it. I hold a little bit out here and hold a little bit out there.
Oh, my God. You know, and these people are very skillful. Just think to be able to embezzle millions of dollars and stuff over a number of years. You
know, the book.
Well, somebody didn't look at your books until something happened. You know, you didn't go to work one day and somebody walked in and say they didn't get paid, and all of a sudden you get somebody skillful to look at those books, like my wife. My wife would turn around and look at them books and stuff, and you're done for. She'll tell you if one penny is missing, you know. But she's the only person I know to balance the bank book to the penny, to the very thing.
My daddy used to do that. My dad used to do that. Even when he was sick, he was trying to balance his checkbook and make sure things were done right, and that, you know, we weren't just taking money out. I said, no, daddy, we're not taking money out. We're just making sure everything's getting paid, you know, and everything like that. But it was because he had me print out all this paperwork because he had cancer, so therefore, you know, he started getting that brain fog, and, you know, things just wasn't, you know, working right. So, I mean, a lot of people went to my dad for financial advice, and because that's the kind of man he was. You know, that's just the kind of man he was. He was just that type of person that made sure that your life was right and that your finances were right and everything. So, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had that conversation with some young people and stuff that don't, they're like in the 9th grade, they don't know what they want to do, you know what I'm saying? You know, learn how to be a financial consultant, you know? Learn the business and stuff, and then you will understand and stuff, how it works.
Right, right.
And they pretty much write their own tickets. So all you need is a couple of wealthy clients, and boom, you're off.
You're done.
Rails.
You're good.
Yeah,
but
you gotta know what the investment. Yeah, you gotta know what the investment's doing. Well, this next thing. Well, we got gun rights. I'm gonna skip equitable education, and we're gonna go to gun rights. You know, the thing about gun rights is it should be that you shouldn't be able to get guns. And we could take a playbook out of the Europeans and stuff. How many Europeans do you see having these shootings every day? How many of these nations?
That's what they
were
saying.
You know,
they
got gun laws. If you own a gun, and you can only be a police officer in securities or whatever to be able to own that gun. Other than that, you ain't gonna. And if you get out and do some kind of shooting and stuff, you lose that right forever. You know, they don't have any massive shootings and stuff, you know, taking place in those countries because they know what the deal is. But we don't.
And then again, we have all these amendments, and the first amendment, the second amendment, the right to this and the right to that. We have too many rights. That's what's one thing. We have too many rights, which, I mean, is understandable. But come on now. When you start going out shooting babies, come on. You don't need no vehicle to kill no baby. That's not right. You don't do that. You need to be hogtied, whooped, and then tarred and feathered, huh?
But the bigger picture, Inez, is this. The bigger picture, if you would look to see what happened to the plantation owners and stuff as to maybe why they have to outgun us because their numbers are declining, white people's numbers are declining. Now, not all white folks are like that, okay? Not all black folks are either, you know? But if you look at that, what happened was the plantation owners had all this property and stuff. The nearest neighbor might be 3 or 4 miles down the road. And in some cases in the county, you know, one plantation owner had 100 slaves. So that means if you count the family, say a family of 5, and then you had 2 overseers that work in the... They was trying to manage those slaves. Remember when they had the uprising, the slave uprising and stuff? What they quickly did was they got the Ku Klux Klan, which was members of the police department and the sheriff in the county, and to go run those people down. You know, so I'm thinking of stuff that some people are thinking, oh, I got to have arms. We got to have arms because what happened if they overrun us, if they overthrow us? Not to mention what happened to those slaves, the ones who just ran. You know, they had to make an example of them. You know, cut their heads off and put them on pipes and then decimated
the
bodies and
legs
and stuff. And then at the end of the day, the state had to pay them. The state paid them for their property. Okay? I'm saying, wow, this is cozy. But
this is cozy.
I I just have, this is my infinite theory, man. You know me, I'm going to crack out anyway. You know, they was thinking, that, wow, we can't let these people outgun us. You know, they can't
outgun and outrun.
Yeah. You know.
So they oh goodness, they beat them down so bad and just.
And we haven't got it. We for some reason though, we don't get it. You know, we're thinking this stuff that number one, all we need is more prayer. You know, God is gonna answer our prayers, which He do. God answer prayers and stuff. You know. There's always a time and stuff where you're in the wrong place at the right time, or you're in the right place at the wrong time. You know,
you just right and wrong and wrong and right, huh?
Yeah, we just, you know, I think that we just need to be doing it, and we need to be educating our young people more than anything. This conversation is really not. It's not for us, just informational piece, but what's going to happen the next 10 years with our young people? After this pandemic, I'm learning and stuff that we got a lot of kids and stuff that probably not going to make it out of high school after this pandemic. Say now they're in the fourth, fifth grade. Well, they've been out of school for so long, and nobody is trying to get them to catch up with what, you know, what their grade average was. Now, you take the kids in fourth and fifth grade, okay, especially in this city,
area.
Kids in fourth and fifth grade stuff, okay, it's going to take them 2 years to catch up. Well, they're going from fifth grade to sixth grade, which now is middle school. Okay, they're going to be learning more in-depth education, you know. I mean, complicated education. If you would look at across the board, fifth grade work, oh, my God. I'm saying.
I'm good.
What?
I'm good.
And I'd be praying that my grandson don't ask me no question, because the next morning I'm going to be up there in his teachers, in the teacher phase, in the principal phase. Okay, what's going on with this? And actually I'll be trying to figure out what are they going to be learning so I can learn some of it in advance that I can be able to help him with, you know. In case he have a different situation. But his dad is quite smart, too, so, you know. But, yeah, it scared the hell out of me.
And, see, and maybe that's what, you know, I know that they have tutoring for the kids. Maybe we need to have tutoring for the parents. Because that's another thing that causes suicide in young youth, because they're not learning. You know, they don't want to be bullied. They don't want to be cyber bullied because they're not learning. They don't understand and all that other stuff. So therefore, that's another thing. But parents, you know, these days they have two and three jobs and one and two jobs. By the time they get home, they got to get on the phone and Zoom and do this and cook. And, you know, we don't have time anymore like we used to for our children, for anybody, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
but
we don't take the time.
Yeah, we actually should do that. You know, we actually should do that, because at the end of the day, you're going to wake up and find out the kid that you thought was smart is really not as smart as you thought that they were. And you can only see that when they're having problems and stuff with their education. Primarily in math, reading. A kid can't read by the time he gets four or five, okay, then you need to be thinking about that. Kids should be able to read to a certain level and stuff, you know. We demand that our migrants. Yeah, you got to make sure because look at the problems that they have them going through. You know, you sitting there saying, "What the hell? Okay, you know, I can't tell my grandson and stuff." Yeah. Well, Grandpa really don't know this, but I'm gonna check it out. You know,
and that's just it. That's just it.
Yeah.
The grandparents, okay, you said grandparents, not mother and father, but grandparents. Okay, what did you learn when you were in school? You learned what, 1 + 1, you learned addition, subtraction, division, and multiplication, correct?
Yep.
Did you have trigonometry, algebra, geometry, and all that other stuff?
Not until the 10th grade, 10th, 11th grade. You know, now they're
Oh, they had that back then?
Yeah, they're introducing different types of what they're doing is they're doing concepts of that so that when kids get to those points, you know, in the higher, say, in the seventh and eighth grade, then they already know the concept. And they just have to do the work, the problem, they have to figure out the scheme of what the problem is, you know.
Okay.
And then our education system, as far as African American kids, is antiquated, you know. It is
flawed.
Yeah, but we're expecting we pay so much taxes to have them educate a kid, you know, that we should be expecting that, but we don't know how to do it because we say, damn, that education is way above my ability.
My pet grade, too.
Trying to play like, I don't want nobody to know that I don't know this, you know.
I'm the first one to tell you. Shabu.
Yeah.
And that is one reason why I have not gotten my bachelor's as of yet, because math just petrifies me. It petrifies me to no extent. I should have had my bachelor's.
It just petrifies me. I feel the same way, but what I always do is I always find somebody and stuff to know it. Somebody gonna know it, and I just sit myself in between. Well, I'm just the old dummy here. What's the concept?
Yeah.
And how do you do this? And teach me how to do it. You know, slap me on the back of the head. Slap me on the back of the head if I'm not keeping up fast enough. You know, but you have to be able to do that. You know.
Yeah. What, slap somebody on the back of the head?
NCIS, girl. You know you watch NCIS. But what's his name?
Okay, come on, Proby. Come on, Proby. Come on, Proby. Boom.
Jethro.
I love me some Jethro. Slapping them poor probies on the back of their head. That's funny. That's funny. But it is because, and like you say, we don't want to feel bad about not knowing math and not knowing what the kids are doing. And then we expect them to understand and learn when we can't even help them ourselves. I mean, my dad and I tried to tackle a problem, a math problem, when I was going through my bachelor's. It took us 8 hours to do one problem, and I still don't even know if it was right. So we had people in our group. We had one person who did math. We had one person who did the research. We had another person who did this. So we had people who did certain things. Because I would have never gotten as far as I did if it had not been for my people who were in my group. I would have never, ever have gotten as far as I did. And I'm so grateful for them because they understood. I'm still trying to understand. Yes, people, I don't understand that type of math. And even my boss, bless his heart, would give me word problems. I don't know. Just give me the simple. Just
well, you see, that comes back to our main deal about us in the black community having money going between us and stuff, you know. how we can make investments and stuff, and then make investments grow, okay,
mm-hmm.
and multiply.
And keeping the money in our community.
Yeah, keep the money going in our community and stuff. And everybody, dog. The concept of, okay, just look at our ancestors and stuff, what they had to do to survive. We can use that term right now, okay? Like,
uh-huh.
for example, here in Yakima and stuff, you had the black community lived in one region of 6th Street, from 6th Street over to the highway. Okay, and
okay.
it was a couple, 200 or 300 black people. Well, they couldn't go downtown, had a hotel down there, restaurants, pool halls, and all
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what they
uh-huh.
did, they started saying, okay, well, John, you're a blacksmith, and you can do this, and then you cut hair,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're a good carpenter and stuff, and oh, you're a good
right.
farmer and stuff. And they started
mm-hmm.
relying on each other and participating with each other, you know, to be able to be successful. Until the
And that's
that,
what I was talking about
and,
the other day about bartering and trading, you know.
Absolutely.
Should we barter or should we buy?
Look, everybody brings something to the table. That's the first thing we must acknowledge and stuff. And then I try not to go to the table to sit down
mm-hmm.
and talk about certain things
Anything.
Like economics and
mm-hmm.
stuff. Well, economics and different things, other things, you got to be sitting down with the right people to be able to do that.
Uh-huh.
That's the critical part right there. Until you get the foundation for whatever it is, you know, that you're going to be doing, and then you go
mm-hmm.
into roles. You go into roles and responsibilities. You know, what's the task? What do we want to do? And you start small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start like let's do something that we're going to be able to have some victories, some stuff that we know that we can do, you know.
Right. What's our final destination? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what do
mm-hmm.
we, if we want to be called, if it's a movement, what do we want to be called? And then we might not have to even develop a new movement. Let's research and find out what's going on, what other groups
mm-hmm.
are doing. You know, so that we don't have
Enjoying
to go back.
Them.
And, yeah, and we don't have to go right
the
whole playbook over. You know.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. And then you have one of the questions, you know, how do we get the young folks involved? Well, put them in charge, because they're going to be the future. So therefore, they need to be the ones who are in charge of what's going on.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
You know,
and what you got to do
is
you got to be, we have to be real, you know, dealing with young people is time and patience. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to listen and you got to see what it is that you actually want to be in life. Half of them don't know that, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you just have to be able to sit down and listen to them, okay, and
mm-hmm.
make sure and stuff that they know. You can be relied on. You're reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Not get no junk and stuff from them. And always praising
them. Right.
To always
mm-hmm.
praise
mm-hmm.
them. You know, you did good. You did great, you know.
Right.
I mean, it won't
right.
work for all of them because they're so independent and stuff. You know, we're from kings
These
and
they...
queens. Is that somebody's phone cracking in the background?
It's probably me. Mine.
Oh, okay.
It's probably mine.
But it's
because
it's just
I'm walking around. Sorry.
Yeah, just have to get young people and stuff, and we got to develop that a trust thing with them. Not that we trust them, you know, and
mm-hmm,
they we
mm-hmm.
need to get them to trust us. You know,
right,
this is the
right.
trust deal and stuff, you know. And,
right.
and praise
factor.
Them. Yeah, just praise them. You can be anything you want to be. You can go any place you want to go, you know. Last week I had this dude and stuff that come up behind me in Safeway and stuff and tap me on the back, and I turn around and stuff, and this dude had a colonel's U.S. Army colonel's uniform, you know, with colonel rank on there, and I look, damn, I know this guy somewhere. He got a little mustache and stuff, man, you know. Mr. Parks, you don't remember me? You know? I'm looking at the senior bars that he got his rank colonel.
Uh-huh.
Full bird colonel. I'm saying, wow, you know,
wow.
In 25 years. Okay.
Dang.
You know, I said, wow, man, dang. We can talk about his sisters and his mother, and, you know, got married, had kids, been stationed in Germany, because when he was young, he was about, I guess, 9 or 10 and stuff, he talked about, I used to tell him about places I've been, you know, stationed in Germany, or go to, if you ever get to Germany, go to the Black Forest, okay? I took my wife and kids until we drove up into the Black Forest. It was the part of everything you said it was, you know.
Wow. That's nice.
And stuff, you know.
That's
went up
nice.
And looked at the
yeah.
castles and stuff. Went down the Rhine River, okay, on a cruise to overlook, you know, where the castles are overlooking the Rhine River and stuff, you know. That's a wild man.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there with tears in my eyes and stuff. He couldn't hug
wow.
me. Stuff, you know, thank you. One. I have others.
Just one at a time.
But that's what I love when that happens and when I see them that they're doing good. A lot of them didn't make it out, you know.
Right.
I had 3 kids
right.
in prison for life for killing people. You know, we didn't try to take somebody, but I kind of figured that they were going to always be, they're a product of their environment, and they were going to always be trying to get something fast, you know, without working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can remember 2 of those kids and stuff. They were in my NAEP Youth Council, and what they did was to do a fundraiser, and I was going to take them to Atlanta, Georgia, to an NAACP convention, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we had to raise $10,000 to be able to do that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And well, what 2 of them did, they knew that I knew this guy that owns, he sells golf carts, right? His name is John. He sells golf carts. They see me talking to him, and he said, yes, James, anything you need, man, you know, I'm right there for you. Okay, no problem. Introduce him to the kids, okay, and it's been boom. About 2 weeks later, he calls me. Okay, he said, well, you know, I had 2 of your kids, the 2 kids that you brought your aunt. I had them up in here, and they came and said they're doing fundraisers, and you're going to take them to Atlanta to a convention. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, but I was going to get them a check, and they said, no. I told them not to accept no check, to only accept cash. I said, you know, and he didn't give them nothing. That's why he decided to call me. The same tutors in prison. Okay. And I talked to them, and I said, wow, you know, you guys are ruining our reputation. I mean, we raised the money.
Right.
Yes, so she got out and she got this congressman and stuff to write a check for about $3,000. You know, that's the only thing we needed. We had the rest of the money. So we went to Atlanta, man. It was good. Took them over.
So y'all
Atlanta.
Flew a train or what?
We flew.
Okay.
We flew.
Hey.
Nice.
Could have gone by train, plane, automobile.
Look, I wanted them to see that because see what we've been talking about is what young people can do. You know, they have the NAACP have what they call AXO. AXO is a program and stuff where that 56 different disciplines. You train in the local area to be able to do that, and then you go to a competition or at the opening of the convention, the NAACP convention, you go to an actual competition. Girl, it is so dynamic. You see kids
as well. AXO?
It's called AXO.
Okay.
ACTS/SO.
Okay.
AXO.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's
Afro
Academic Technologies program and stuff, you know. And every discipline that you can think of, they have a contest.
Uh-huh.
So all the local winners all over the United States will come there, and they'll compete for gold, silver, and bronze. Okay.
Nice.
Now, if you just happen to win a silver, and you have to be African American descent, you know.
Okay.
If you win silver, then you could get a $50,000 educational grant to go to college. You know.
Wow.
Or you could get a $5,000 educational grant. It is so dynamic. I mean, these kids, Inez, they are so bright. You know, you talking about computer programming and engineering, classical music.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, my God. Just to sit in one of those, it happens from Friday through Sunday. That's the weekend before the convention open up, right? And it's normally held at one of the biggest theaters and stuff there is, you know.
Okay.
And it's normally a couple of thousand kids and stuff. For the 2 days, they will wean themselves out until the final day where they will get the medals, you know. And then the kids get their medals in the convention. When the conventions open up, they award the kids those medals. So, I mean, it's really, really, really something, you know. I took kids there.
Wow.
They did pretty good. I had two kids that get bronze medals and stuff, but the other kids are so far advanced. You know, most of the big cities, what they have is they have an AXO training program where they will get engineers, people from the music business, and all of the disciplines, they will get those people to come and then tutor kids, you know. They'll volunteer to tutor kids and stuff, you know. And it's just really amazing. I'm wondering why it's not really known to a lot of people. It's the best kept secret.
They don't want people to get ahead. They don't want them to survive and thrive. That's all.
Well, they don't.
That's the only thing.
They don't want people trying to replicate that and then go to the same sources that they're going to try and make it work. You know?
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how I would think, you know, you want to know how the young people could join the movement, and that's how I'm thinking, is they put them in charge because and see how they act and how they will run things and where their minds are. Because there are some pretty smart kids out there. Some really intelligent children out there. I know my grandson, you'll find him, he's a bookworm. He'd be reading books, even in class. He got an award for reading because he reads so much. He reads so much. He's so funny. He is hilarious. He is hilarious. But
how old is he?
He is eight. He'll be nine. He's eight. He'll be nine in July.
Well, guess
he'll
what?
He'll be nine in July.
That age is priceless.
Yeah.
That's where you can get the best games and stuff, and you just time and patience, you know. Spend the time. And my grandson, he got his own electronic center in his room with stuff. And sometimes I go in there and just say, okay, shut everything down, and then we go outside and walk, shoot basketball. He likes to play basketball, football. You know, he loves that. That's how you get his attention. You know.
I have to laugh at you at that. Because when my grandson was in kindergarten, first grade, I said, well, how was your day? He said, it was fine. I said, well, how was PE? It's garbage. I'm not a fan. I looked at my phone and was like, excuse me? What do you mean it's garbage, you're not a fan? No, I'm not a fan because it was structured. And he doesn't like to be structured like that. So I said, shoot, at that age, I would have loved to have had some PE and some Tableau.
That's why we need to distinguish with them and stuff how to accept the content that people are trying to instruct them in. That's critical. That is critical because, if you know, you'll cut a kid off if the kid is really, really smart, and then you're not teaching up to what his level is, then he'll shut down. Okay.
Real quick.
So we need to teach them what the content is. And you know how you do that? Parents and stuff need to go to them schools, need to talk to them teachers, and talk to everybody. Talk to all the classes, classmates, and everybody and stuff to see what kind of environment he's in. Okay? And then you get back and you prep him. You know, the number one, I know as much as he's supposed to know about what he's supposed to be doing. Every time I pick him up from school, what I'm asking him is, what do you guys do today? You know, and he know he got to tell me what's going on. He can't tell me that we didn't do nothing. Because if he say we didn't do nothing, then I'm gonna talk to the teacher. Well, he said he wasn't doing nothing and stuff, you know, because we can catch things before they happen. Problematic things or behavior types of deals and stuff, you know. We can catch those before they happen, but we can't put ourselves in one environment, the kids in another environment, and then trust that that environment is gonna be conducive of giving your kid what's supposed to take place, you know.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So you gotta just
and then your last thing, and your last thing is for the good of the order. What's that?
Well, I was saying that, you know, based on the conversation that we had on Tuesday, okay, and everything that we discussed, well, let's back up. You know, we need to figure out, everybody agreed and stuff that we should do some kind of project. We never said what we were going to do, you know. So we should re-enter, we should go back and see how many people is interested. I think the preacher, the lady preacher, she came up with some good points on what it is that we could do. Maybe we go into the research deal. Everybody take a topic surrounding any subject, okay, and then be able to talk about that topic and have input. Now we need to subscribe. We need to scribe somebody to write it down, so then the next time we come together and stuff, we can stay on point, you know. And then after each meeting and stuff, for the good of the order and stuff, has anybody else got anything or any problems or whatever, you know? And nobody actually has to be a leader. If we decide and stuff, you know, take a topic and then you break the topic down, and then each one of us can develop input on that topic, or we can a number of topics that we can come back and do. I'm saying that we should try to do something that's going to make us successful. Okay. Getting to know each other and how we work and stuff, and basically doing what we say we're going to do. Because if you tell me you're going to do something and it don't get done, then I don't think that I'm going to tell you about it. Oh, well, you said you were going to do this and it didn't happen.
Right,
I'm not going to be relying on you, you know.
We're right, adults. You're not gonna trust them.
I'm not gonna be relying on you unless you had an accident on the way or the dog ate your
home. Oh my!
Woke up, you know.
The homework.
Yeah, it's all about trust, being trust, you know, trustful, and then treating each other with respect. And I don't care what kind of education you got, you know. You know, that we should all be able to praise you for your education, that you have a role that you're going to play in and stuff. And then we will probably graft to that person and stuff that seems to be the most logical person and stuff to listen to them, which we don't do very well because we think that, oh, that person know all of this stuff. Well, let's task them, you know.
Right.
Let's task them.
Nothing
okay,
wrong
so
with that.
You be A, B, C, and D, you know. And then come back the next time, and we'll develop and write down what we have did, keep it as a minute and stuff of our deal. Then come up with something tangible. Like in your area and stuff, you find some kids and stuff that you guys want to get backpacks for black kids and stuff to have some kind of logo on it, okay? To say, yeah, well, we did this, we gave this and stuff. See, that's an introduction with the parents and stuff. So we wanna get these backpacks for the kids and stuff. So now you got the parents involved. You know.
Maybe is there anything in particular in these backpacks?
Well, whatever the group decides you want in it, or we want to come up with a logo that's gonna be that everybody want to use. You know, that's why I haven't used the T-shirt deal that the brother from Atlanta came up with. You know, I was going to get my grandson to make them T-shirts, but I said, no, I better not do that, because if I start having these T-shirts made and start sending them to especially the brothers that was involved, then what are they going to think about me? You know, they're going to think that I'm like that. I'm saying, hey, if we come up with an idea, let's do it. You know,
right. Let's don't forget the procrastination. Let's get, you know.
Because
that's all we
have
to do. We talk about it. Right. We talk about stuff, but we never act upon anything.
Go to the meeting after the meeting, then the next meeting and stuff, and then you don't ever accomplish anything. You know,
so our group
actually will become a gossip group. We're gossiping. You know, we're talking about stuff that don't come up with tangible solutions on how, you know, we can resolve it. And there's always a way if we just sit down and listen to each other and stuff and then vote on what we're going to do and then do it. You know?
Right.
And I can lead and I can follow. In fact, my grandson
said
I'm a good follower. Yeah, my grandson said, Grandpa, you follow real good. My wife tells me, you go over there and then, you know, make that breakfast. This is what I want for lunch. I do that. That's called getting the best out of everything, you know. I'm not going to agree with everything, though. You know, I might get outvoted. Drag me along because of my vote.
That's okay.
You know, hey, I still participated. I didn't like it, but I participated, you know.
That's what I was going to say. At least you were heard. And just because not everybody agrees with what you said, you know, I just say what I say, and I don't even know half the time what I be saying. I just be talking. I'm just crying my neck.
It's called commitment. That's what it's called. It's called commitment. What are you going to commit to, and what are you not going to commit to? If your job keeps you from committing to this, then when will you be able to commit to this? After you say, this is what you're going to do, then I expect that to take place. I expect that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are reasons why people don't you know, don't do what they say they do. That's emergencies and stuff. I understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all can be successful. I think we all make a difference.
And that's what we're here for. We just have to find our place in the world.
Yeah.
That's
right. So let's start with something small. Start with something small that we can say, yeah, we did this. I like to hear reports from everywhere. All those people we talk to and say, yeah, this is what we did. And then we can feed all of the information into you, and you can put it on, do it all in small and put it on there and show it. Oh, this is what they did in Yakima. And this is what they did in whatever and wherever and stuff, you know, along with the pictures showing that.
Right. I see
it could be something even like Miss Inez, her designing company and stuff, that let Miss Inez design the backpacks and stuff. You know, we'll get together and see what the logo going to be. Miss Inez designed that pack to go on the logo, because you can get backpacks now for about $5-$6. You know,
wow.
Have
okay.
To be nothing real fancy. You know. And put the logo on it. That could be a kid's reward and stuff for doing something significant.
For doing something
in school, or either doing something significant at home. You know.
Just award them for doing.
Yeah.
And
You guys are the only one have this backpack with this logo on.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just blow it all up. Yeah, this is what it stands for. You know, it stands for we're gonna help ourselves and stuff, get the knowledge that we can and stuff to be better people. You know, to be successful in life or whatever we decided that's what we should be doing. You know?
Right. Guess who joined us this evening?
Who joined you this evening?
Our friend Joe from Montana.
Your friend Joe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Montana.
How are you? Montana Joe. Sergeant Parker.
Hello, Mr. Parker.
How you doing?
How are you? Where you been?
I don't know. Why?
Because we asked how you're doing. All right, who's making all that noise in the background?
Thank you. That's me and my earbuds. I'm adjusting them.
Oh, But, we talked about quite a few things tonight. We'll probably be ending in about 10 minutes. We talked about hate groups, economic justice, voting rights. We didn't talk about equitable education. Talked about gun rights, investments, keeping money in our community, and how do we get young people involved in our movement? What shall we call our movement? And on Tuesday, we had a good long talk with quite a few people, and basically what was the good of the order and, you know, what direction were we going to go. So do you have any comments on any of those topics?
You've got a movement. What kind of movement?
Well, Sergeant Parks.
Well, basically, you know, based on our conversation that we had on Tuesday and stuff, in particular, we talked about how that we could be successful in the black community by not begging and not asking for things, but creating things and stuff that we can keep money going in our community. You know, to sort of like invest in different things and try to do that. And just trying to, you know, be able to do things on our own to try and be successful. Of course, that don't exclude anybody in particular. It's just that we're just talking about how we could do that, you know, and I know that we're not going to be able to live on this earth or even in this country on our own. We're always going to have to depend on somebody. There's a lot of good people and stuff to be able to depend on. But I'm just looking, trying to find ways in which we can esteem ourselves to be able to be better people. I guess is what you call it, to be better people. And
right.
And all of those topics that we talked about is topics and stuff that we should be, every citizen in the United States should pay attention to them, because it seems like the politicians has ran amok. Well, most of them has ran amok, and they think that it only fits a certain pattern of certain people, you know.
Certain criteria.
Almost as if democracy is leaning toward trying to be a dictatorship or something of that nature. Well, that's what we talked about. First of all, it has to hinge on, we talked about this subject, to be able to try and get our kids and stuff to get them prepared for what's coming down, Joe, for what the future that they're going to be inheriting, and they're already here now, so I can't say when they get older, you know.
Right.
As to what has taken place, and that's not to demean anything, but only to look at what is taking place in, like, here in Yakima and wherever we have a voice and stuff in, and how.
So, what kind of future do you feel is ahead for the youngsters?
Well, I kind of figure that right now, since we are depleting resources, and they need to know what's the next step in where jobs are going to be coming from. You know, how to train themselves at an early age to be able to go into those different positions so that they can, you know, take care of themselves.
You know, that's what most kids do. They go to college, or if they don't go to college, then they have to scrounge around or find some money. Either they become entrepreneurs, or they become gangsters or homeless people. It's something which has always faced youngsters.
Yep, mm-hmm. I agree.
Or the challenge of mental illness as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. But a lot of people and stuff are looking at that it's somebody else's responsibility to be able to do that. You know, and I look at other different conditions and stuff, especially in the African-American communities where you have young people trying to raise young people. You know, you can look at the trend of what has taken place with that. Right now, young people raising young people normally means that if there's any grandparents, is going to probably, if they're able to take over the rearing of those kids at some point, you know. And it's not to try
that they should.
Well, I think each family should take care of itself. But it's a lot of economic situations sometimes will keep that from taking place. You know. Well, we're just looking for solutions as to how we can reach kids and stuff and just listen to them. You know, I think you listen to young people, you give them time and patience and stuff, and show them that you're there for them, you know. Now, if you're wrong, again, guess what? If you're wrong, you're wrong. But I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to listen to you and stuff, but trying to keep them on the straight and narrow what's happening.
Well, if that's necessary, that means that the parents aren't doing their job.
Oh, hell yeah. That's why the conversation is heated up. Most parents aren't doing their job.
Yeah, well, it goes to show there are a lot of people who shouldn't be parents. Just because somebody carries around a uterus doesn't mean she's a good nurturer. And just because somebody's a man doesn't mean that if the father's in the family, that he's a good influence. So,
absolutely true.
Absolutely
yeah.
true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think
but they don't
probably
know until they try.
Yeah, but...
Because I didn't know if I was going to be a good mother, and I'm sure Mr. Parks didn't know if he was going to be a good father, grandfather, or, you know, or even a good person until he went to the service and he did what he was doing. And so, hey...
But you know, along those lines, I have to, you know, toe the line. I have to toe the line and stuff for, you know, having kids and stuff out of wedlock. And then having kids and stuff that you see once and now, you know, I think I'm really blessed that all of my kids seem to like, you know, I can talk to them. You know, that's still not a good excuse and stuff for being missing in their lives and stuff, you know. And I will never be able to get that time back. You know, like I tell them, what we can do now is we can do what we can do right now, you know. And I always let them have the opportunity. You tell me just the way you feel, and I don't say nothing. I don't come up with no excuses. There is no excuse, you know. You can fall off your bicycle and use dad, your pop, as an excuse and stuff for you to go out there and do something stupid or not make whatever you want your life to be, then you're going to be headed in the wrong direction. You fall off your bicycle, you get your ass on your bicycle, and you ride. You know, that's the way I am. So,
but you know, I always blame the parents. I always blame the parents. I always feel that if people can train dogs, polar bears, crocodiles, they should be able to train their kids. If they don't take the time, once the kid comes out of the womb, in order to bond with the child, to make sure that the child loves the parents, does what the parents tell that child to do, then it's the parents' fault.
Yeah, you're right.
The child comes out. Yeah.
You're right.
So,
you know,
people should not have children.
You can fault.
Yeah.
You know,
people should not have children
kid,
more than they can afford them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but once that kid gets to a certain age, and stuff, then a responsibility is going to be on him, you know, or her. To be able to make the best out of the situation that they can and get out there and then be productive. They're either going to be productive or they're not going to be productive.
Well, that's still up to the
parents.
If the parents know how to bond with the child, make that child feel safe and important, give that child good discipline and love without having to have that child earn it all the time, then when that kid becomes a rebellious 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, that child's going to love the parents and respect the parents. And if the parents have half a brain, they're going to guide that child right. Now, if the child makes mistakes, that child really shouldn't make too many egregious mistakes, and they should always go back to the parents for guidance. If the parents don't have that bond, unless that child is a demon seed, that's not that child's fault.
No, no, it's not. It's not the child's fault. But the village can raise the kids. You know, the village concept has been traditional, you know, since black people came to America. Before that this is what takes place and stuff. Somebody is going to be taking you. You know, somebody is going to take care of you. Somebody is going to make sure you do what you're supposed to do. You know.
Well, that somebody should be the parents.
Who else has that responsibility? I mean, most of the time, it is. But there will come a time when that's not the case. So what do you do about a kid and stuff that's taking place? Just let them fall off the map?
A kid that's taking place of what?
Huh?
He said there will come a time when a kid is taking place. What?
Well, when a kid is not on the right track and not doing what they're supposed to be doing or whatever, what do you do? If you're concerned about that, then what do you do? Nothing?
Well, who's the person, I mean, other than the parents? If you've got relatives, they're going to help. If they don't help, then, you know, you're stuck. Again, I always blame the parents. Unless that child is a demon seed, the parents have had that child since the first second. If you can't mold that child, give that child value, bond with the child, within the first few years that that child is on the earth, then shame on you. Now, you're talking about children going astray. If a child is going to go astray, the only way I can see the child going astray is if there are gangs in the neighborhood that exert more influence over the kid than the parents do. Now, if that's the case, that still is the parents' fault. If the kid is more afraid of saying no to the gang than he is of saying no to his parents, you got a problem. You got parents who should not have become parents. If the influence of the gangs on that influence in the neighborhood, get out of the neighborhood.
I mean, that's simple enough explanation, but that's not the case. That's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening
mm-mm. in a lot of African American families. That's not taking place. And a lot of other families and stuff as well. But when I'm not talking about other families, I'm talking about African American families, and I'm talking about African American kids.
What's so different about African American parents that they can't mold their child to be a strong, self-confident, responsible pre-teenager, teenager, and adult?
No, don't do a blanket work. Don't do the blanket work on me. It's not all African American parents. There are some. There's a high percentage.
Okay.
Of those parents and stuff that's not doing that. Now, I'm not talking about black folks is going to fill off in a hole somewhere and we can't overcome what's taking place. I'm a true believer that we can, but I'm like, leave no kid behind. See, so that's the concept that I'm talking about, the village raising the people. That concept is basically inherited from Africa on how the kids was raised in the village, if you know anything about that. You know?
Being in the village is one thing. Being in Oklahoma and a modern city is a different story.
Oh, yeah, it is, but we're not going to leave them out in the cold just because they're from Oklahoma or wherever. See, so somebody got to...
What I'm getting at is why are they out in the cold? You keep saying that in the African-American community there's a certain problem. I keep referring back to the parents. So if people knew that they should not have children, poor parenting,
we've already established that. Parents not doing what they're doing. We already agreed on that. You know, any kid...
Okay,
so
then if you... Right.
Yeah, so it's a two-way street. Yeah. You got to work with the parents, and you got to work with the kids, you know, as well. Those that want to get help, because a lot of people and stuff just don't want to get help. We can see that by all of the people that we got. Hell, I could see that by Tacoma. We was in Tacoma the weekend and we stayed at the La Quinta, man, and I'm telling you, there was so many homeless people around that place that it wasn't even funny. 70% of those people were black people, you know. So that's
so why do you think that is?
Why do I think that? Mm-hmm. It's not no one size fit all. You got into some kind of situation where they couldn't handle life. Some of them was probably got out of jail and just decided to stay. Some of them is mentally. Some of them is definitely probably on drugs. You know. I mean, that's a white.
Well, like in that sense, I mean the mental issues. I mean, what are the mental health issues that are affecting the African American community to the extent that it is?
You say what are the mental health issues?
Yeah. Right.
They got all kind: anxiety, depression, opioid abuse, everything you can think of. They have, we have it, and it's just the same thing in every other society. So it's not just Blacks or African Americans.
But Joe, you already know this. You're not bringing up those questions to ask us because you don't know this. You already know this.
What is it that I'm supposed to know?
I don't know why
70% of the people.
My deal is this. What can we do about it? You know, mm-hmm. What can we do about it? What can we do to help people and stuff? And then trying to get younger people to try and see, you know, what's going to happen, what's happening, and how they should get involved and stuff, being good citizens, being productive.
You mean, are you talking about mentorship programs?
Mentorship? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Definitely mentorship. But I'm talking about mentorship with compassion and then being able to try and have the parents involved. You know,
mm-hmm.
one thing to work with a kid that have a parent and then not touch bases with the parent. A lot of times that hurts more than it helps. So the parent has to be involved. You know, some parents I run into, they need some assistance and stuff. Well, we got this place called OIC. They got all kinds of food. Go over there on Friday and you get food. It's free. They'll pay your bills and stuff if you can come up with an address and say that you've been at a certain place over a year or whatever, you know. But then at the same token, they're saying, what are you doing to try and get back on your feet to be productive?
No, so that should be the right question.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. You know, and Joe, everybody is having this kind of this problem. Every group in America is having this problem, but
mm-hmm.
African Americans seems to be having this problem a little bit more, you know, than everybody else because of the reasons that you stated. Parents being ill-equipped or parents not doing their job.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Right.
I don't disagree with that.
People have to learn, responsibility. They have to learn a little bit of economics. And I know that I remember having a conversation with somebody, and he was saying that there were people who can't even balance a checkbook, and there should be classes taught on that. And I go, you got to be kidding me. You know, if you learn arithmetic.
There used to be classes. We used to have classes when I was going to school to teach us social skills and how to balance checkbook and everything. They don't do that anymore.
That shouldn't even be a requirement of school. If you've learned arithmetic, then when you get out in the real world, you're going to be forced to say, okay, I make $50,000 a year. My rent is $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year. That leaves me with $26,000 a year to spend on utilities and other things. I'm going to sit down with a piece of paper, like I did when I was 16, 17, and when I was 17, and I'm saying, well, actually when I was 21, because I went into the service early, then when I got out, I sat down with a piece of paper, and I said, this is how much I make, this is how much I have to spend, now let's see how much I can save. Simple.
And that's fine, but a lot of kids don't know that because everything is handed to them. So therefore, they don't know how to act. They don't know how to do anything because all they're given is money and everything else is balanced for them. So they don't know how to do the normal social skills.
They haven't been introduced to different things at a certain period and stuff like most of us, you know, learn that, you know, how to save money and then how to be frugal with what you're doing, you know, and then how to get out there and really kick ass for yourself, you know, or your family or whatever, you know. But we had a situation, and that's what I decided to spend my time doing. And not just helping African American. I'm known for helping every damn body, you know, everybody that I can help. And if you are helping yourself, after you get the help from me, then my blessings are to you. But the lesson is that if I'm going to do anything for you, you have to do something for yourself, you know, unless you're not able to. But, yeah, Joe, it's as complicated as what we're talking about. It don't seem that way, and it seems like it should be a natural cause of life to parents having babies, and then they're raising their kids, and they come out to be productive in society and go on to live happy life. You know, you could probably write a book and stuff about that. Might be a bestseller, but I don't think so. But there are situations and stuff that take place. There are situations and stuff that's taking place, and I really spend my time, you know, trying to rectify them. Now, does that mean that I'm going to be there to try and make sure and stuff that you're going to get this and you're going to get that and you're going to get all the way to wherever? No. I'm just here to try, and you can lean on me and you can talk to me, and then I'll try and figure out what it is that you think you need and then help you along those ways, because I got resources, you know. I have resources and stuff that I could turn you on to that point. And I'm pretty happy about what I'm able to do in my community. And that's just being myself and trying to help people.
Well, okay, cool.
That's Sergeant Parks. If he will help you, he'll reach out and help you.
If I can. Some people can't be helped, though. We got to realize that, too. Some people.
Well, some people don't want to be helped.
No, some people can't be helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the guy that went and shot up the hospital, you know, how can we say that he could have been helped? You know, the doctor was giving more painkillers, and then all of a sudden, you come out and end up doing the same thing anyway, you know.
Right.
People are killing people with guns, okay? So.
Right.
But that's another topic.
And before we go too far, And before we go too far, we had a caller out of Ontario who was talking, we were talking about the social skills, and they were saying that how to save money and or social economic skills are learned behaviors. And so it may be complicated, but doable, and definitely doable. It won't come together overnight. Just remember, anything worth having takes time. So I want to thank that person for opening up that, as well as they had sent some links on, it says, get started on your way to becoming an American state national or American state citizen, and they have the link in there in the chat for anybody who wants to look that out. And also a link on, I got to find it, on financials. How to, the two links will be very helpful towards accomplishing your objective of financial freedom. So you're talking about, you know, keeping investments in our communities, because we don't, you know, some of us don't know how to save money. We don't know how to keep money underneath the mattress, or that's all we know how to do, or else we will go out and just spend it and not think about our future. Oh, I'll get some money off the money tree. No, boo-boo, it don't grow like that, you know, and you're not going to pick that even in mommy's pocket either every time you want something. So there's a couple of links out there in the chat that everybody may want to take a peek at so that they can see how to gain some financial freedom. So I want to thank at D-A-Y-L-E-E-N-U-U-Z out of Ontario, California, for joining us in the chat room. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So getting out of the matrix and into your community. So she's a female. So she says we need to learn from one another. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Anybody else have any questions for this evening on the topics that we went over? We had some great topics that we talked about. Hate groups, economic justice, voting rights, equitable education, gun rights, ghost guns is one thing. Investments, keeping the money in our community. Thank you, Ontario caller, or chatter, I should say. And how do we get young people involved in our community, or our movement, excuse me. And
oh,
what shall we call our
movement?
Southern Park?
Yep. Say what now?
What is equitable education? Equitable education is one of the topics that she's mentioning. So what's equitable education?
Okay. Under equitable education.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Inez.
Equitable education is equity in education is when every student receives the resources needed to acquire the basic work skills of reading, writing, and simple arithmetic. It measures educational success in society by its outcome, not the resources poured into it. The ongoing public health and economic crisis have made achieving educational equity even more challenging. In many areas, schools were shut down, worsened. This worsened racial disparities as many low-income families don't have the Wi-Fi connections or the computer equipment needed for long-distance learning. A McKinsey study showed that, as a result, students of color were an additional 3 to 5 months behind in math, while white students were 1 to 3 months behind in math. So we just have issues as far as economic.
Yeah, and
what I just
one of the things was, one of the questions was do you believe that public funds should be redirected from public schools to private institutions? You know, and I myself think that it all depends on what type of private institutions there are.
You're talking
about. There are
mm-hmm.
some institutions like institutions that are taking kids, and they're going
mm-hmm.
to advanced education and stuff like that. And they also make sure that kids get, when they get out of school and stuff, that they can they'll have a job. They can go to college, you know.
Mm-hmm.
just trying to make it pass.
There are programs available that will make it very easy for kids when they graduate from high school that they have a job. It sounds to me like a pretty good program. So if you've got a school, 400 graduates, 400 kids, or at least, let's say, 90% of them, when they graduate, they're going to have a job. Sounds good.
They have to apply themselves, I'm sure, because you're not going to just have a job when you get out of school if you don't apply yourself. You're not going to just say, hey, Johnny, you're going to have a job. Well, I don't want no job. I just want to sit on the corner and smoke pot and get high and go through drug abuse and be an opioid user. You know, so there are going to be people who want to have jobs, and there are going to be people who are not going to want to have jobs. So they're out there
some private institutions and stuff, you know, that are that kids can go to, and they take that that money that the government would normally be sending them to a public school, you know, to go to this private institution that has more resources to get kids, you know, more well developed. You know, and I agree with that. I agree with that in a sense, okay? Because you do have kids that are highly, highly are way above their grade level, you know.
Not only that, Sergeant Parks, not to cut you off, but some kids, they start like in the ninth grade and 10th grade getting their academics, you know, getting their AAs and their bachelors in the ninth and 10th grade. They start going to college and taking college courses so they can be above and get done with all this so they can, be above and ahead and everything and not wait until you graduate to, I got to get a job. I got to get my education. They take it way in advance. You know, charter schools do that, you know. You know, and because my grandson goes to a charter school or a magnet school or, you know, because he's intelligent for one thing. He's probably smarter than me. He used the word thrice. I looked at the phone and I said, excuse me, what does thrice mean? And he gave me the definition of thrice. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And my daughter even looked at me like, okay. His dad breaks things down for him and to him and makes him go and look. And he's only 8 years old. So I said, what do you mean thrice? He said, Nanny, that's three times. I said, as long as you know what that means. I know what it means, but I didn't know if you knew what it means. But he doesn't use words that he doesn't know what they mean. So kids are starting early and they're grasping and they're just sponges, as we know, you know, from an early age, but it also starts, as we talked about earlier, with the parents or the grandparents. Because, I mean, I'm always throwing books at him. I'm always throwing these thick books at him so that he will have this information. So I don't have a dumb grandchild. And even my godchildren, I would get them educational books and things instead of toys, because everybody always gives kids toys. And said, I'm sorry, boo-boo, you're not going to just have toys in your life. You're going to have something that's going to make the brain work, because that will be your ticket, because knowledge is power. And if you don't have that knowledge, you're going to be boo-boo the clown or poo-poo the clown or boo-boo on a stick or something. But you need to have that education and that knowledge so that you can be above and rise above, because we as an indigenous, I guess you want to call it a race, we have to work 50 million times harder because we get looked down upon, frowned upon, you know, bullied, cyber bullied, whatever else. And everybody does, but it's like, you know, we have to work so much harder to get to a certain level so that we can rise above, become the cream of the crop. And it just takes a lot of time. It may take some sour milk. It may take some fermentation. It may take some, the souffle fell and you got to start again. But we have got to work harder, and that's what I try to instill in my godchildren and grandchild and so on and so forth. It's, you can't just be sitting on the corner and think education and everything's going to come to you so easy, because some people it doesn't, some people it does. But you've got to apply yourself, and you've got to show your child. Yes, you do. You have got to challenge them. Yes.
You got to challenge them.
Yes, you do.
You got to make sure and stuff that they understand, you know, that when they go into school and stuff, you know, yeah, it's okay to go and have fun with your kids, but what I want to know is, what did you learn today? Okay.
Right.
Explain to me what you learned. And if I can't get up to speed on that, I'm going in, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to email your teacher, and I'm going to get more
dropped
out on what it is, what took place, and we'll have that discussion, you know, later on. So just keep challenging and stuff, but listen to
exactly.
them. You've got to listen to them. You've got to have some patience with them, and they are
trying.
They are special. Every kid is special. I don't care where they come from or what they're doing. They're special.
Right.
Parents gotta
anybody
have
else have any?
They got it.
Yeah.
They got a point. If they don't, then they're not doing the right parenting. People
that
know the work.
Right. That is correct.
And 40 hours a week and all of that nonsense. But once you bring a child of your own flesh and blood into the world, you gotta change your priorities. So if the parents aren't doing
that
because they're coming home tired, they should not have children.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you have those days, but you got
that.
Those days. I mean, you got to work hard. The child has to work hard. You just got to work together so that you can be. You know, a family that works together to get everybody to the same place. So even if mom couldn't do it, if you have older siblings, but if you have older siblings who can, I won't say take the place of a parent, but as I was talking to Sergeant Parks earlier, I'm not the best at math. And so I may have to be tutored in math because this math these days, you know, I was like, what the heck are you doing? It's like, so don't blame the parents for not having parental skills or what have you, because we have good parents out there, but they're trying to make sure that they have food on the table, that they have a roof over their head, that they have a car so that they can take their children wherever they need to go, because it's not easy being, you know, being cheesy and being out there. So we need to give an applause to our parents who are working and still trying to make sure that their child is, you know, being educated properly, correctly, and right, and going to tutor school. So a lot of times you have to give up as a parent things that you want to do because you want to make sure that your child is. But not all the time does your school. Does your job allow you to do that? You know, you get ding-donged and whatever else. The wicked witch is dead because you have to take off for a child. So,
it's
you know,
a trade-off.
Don't say that.
Again, it's still the parents on this because, again,
and I understand
it's all, it boils down. It boils down to arithmetic. If you can't afford one child, don't have one child. If you can't afford two or three, do not have two or three. You take out a piece of paper. You find out how much money you make. You know that kids are going to be going to grow. They need shoes. They need clothes. They need. They're going to. They need food. And if you don't plan for it, because plenty of parents plan for it, those who don't,
that's on them. Joe, what you gonna do when that situation don't work? Are you just gonna give up? Throw the baby out with the bathwater? Then you got there has to be another plan, and me as a caring person and stuff, then you know what I try and do? If I got two parents and their kids going to the same school and they're having situation with learning and they have situation with discipline and stuff, I try and get those parents together, and number one, trying to get them to see, hey, guess what? Your kid is not really going to make it unless you get involved. You guys get involved and figure out a way and stuff. to send a message to your kids so that they can do that, you know. And then get a parent support group. We started one years and years ago. We had like 80-some parents and kids and stuff in there, you know. And then all of a sudden it imploded. And the reason it imploded because they didn't know how to go to the administration, talk to the administration and stuff. I'm saying everybody got different issues. So what you guys need to do is just get one representative and stuff to say this is what's happening. So that person, and it ended up being me, was the one and stuff that was to all the schools and then going to the classes and visiting the teachers and seeing what little Willie done did, you know, and the kid. And most of the things that
you know,
happened
to kids. You know,
most of the problems, it originate where? At home. Most of the problems originate at home. Okay, who's the first person and stuff to spot those symptoms of what's going on? The parent. But if you don't never go to the school and all of a sudden you get the report card and then Willie got all F's, now you want to run up in there. See, so it's all about having an attitude and stuff that you're going to be able to sit down in an environment to see what's the best thing that you can do for your kids. Okay? And then you got to listen. You got to figure if there's a chink in the armor and stuff, normally there's this one teacher that done did something and the kids just have a problem with learning from that teacher. Well, you got to tell the kid what you got. I don't care what you do. You got to go in that classroom. You got to pay attention. That includes with you going in that classroom and sitting down and observing what the heck is going on with your kid. You know, so it's a two-way street. In that. But Joe, there's always going to be somebody that's going to fall through the crack, you know.
Right.
And everything you're saying, I hear you. I heard it a million times before. When I first started this, man, wasn't nobody going to tell me there wasn't nothing that can be done until I started understanding what's going on and stuff. And that's the relationship between parents and stuff. And then education now scare parents, in particular black parents. I was telling Inez about the fifth grade classes that my grandson and stuff was taking, man. I had to really go and find out what the hell's going on, you know, to educate myself.
Right.
You might have to do that, you know, so you can't shy away from it. There's no excuse.
Of course you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
That's
so
the parent's responsibility. What I'm about, what I'm telling
you. Always say
is when you.
Right.
What I was about to say was that when you went around as a sort of a dignitary for these parents going to different schools, that's not your job. Because now they're taking the responsibility that's on their shoulders and putting it on you, and then you accepted it.
Well, no.
If it was me.
That wasn't the reason and stuff that I did it. The reason I did it and stuff was to make sure that parents knew and understood how to navigate the system, okay?
Right.
They know how to navigate the system and stuff. And I just went to the classes and stuff to find out what was going on to get a real firsthand experience on what is taking place. Mm-hmm. Because in some cases, teachers will tell parents and stuff, you know, your kid is doing good, and then at the end of the thing, then your kid flunked. Well, what we find out and stuff is that you need to be able to be abreast of what is taking place with your child's education the whole way. And the best way you can do that is go to school, get to know what's going on.
That's what I'm saying.
Know, situation, and then be able to do it, you know. So my involvement was basically to pioneer what's the deal is. And in a lot of cases, I got a lot of nonsense. You know, you can't go to school and stuff and then be talking to a teacher about somebody else's child unless you got permission from the teacher to do it.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so,
why
you
it's
know,
up
it's,
to the parent.
Yeah,
the parent
is
the one to do it.
But Sergeant Parks can get that information and pass it on to the parent, and then the parent can digest it, marinate it, spit it out, and then go back to the school and say, okay, this is what I understand, this is what I heard, and this is where you are.
Basically, what I do is marry them together. sit down in a conference right. with them and say, okay, what can we do? The kid is why we're here. What can we do to be able to do that? Parents, you got so many things that you got to do. And administrators and counselors, you got so many things that you guys are going to do. And then in 30 days, let's get back and then let's see what kind of progress the kid is doing, you know. And then my thing
so
with the kid
down,
and stuff.
You sat down with the parents? You sat down with the parents and the kids and somebody from the school at the same time?
Yeah, at the same time. It's a conference that we get. And if the administration don't allow that, I go to the superintendent. You know, I'll go
Mr.
to the
Parks
board.
Don't play.
You know, I'll go to the board and say, well, this is what's going on and stuff. You know, I'm just here trying to make sure that I'm not pointing the fingers. That's the first thing I don't do, going and pointing the fingers until I get the facts. If the facts bear that this is what took place, we got to accept that. A lot of times they don't want to accept it. That's the first thing.
I was about to say that, too.
Because they got the greatest, Washington State has the greatest teachers association, man, in the United States. They are so damn great and powerful.
Yes.
They sued themselves. I was saying, how in the hell can that be? How in the hell is the teachers association going to sue themselves? They sued themselves.
Education
you know, you were talking about you had a group. We had something like 80 people in that group. And you said it imploded. First thing that came to mind is because a lot of people inside that group didn't want to take responsibility.
They're right. You're right. That was one of the main causes. And then they imploded and stuff because their thing was that, oh, well, I got to go. I got a job and stuff. And then I'm gonna be doing this and I'm going to be doing that. But the people that I stayed in contact with, maybe 30-some people that I stayed in contact with, their kids is doing good. Their kids went on to graduate, to go to college and stuff. Man, I'm so proud behind that, you know. And then the ones that didn't do it, then guess what? Some of the kids just barely made it. You know, I still see them walking down the street. What are you doing and stuff? Some of them are homeless, you know. I can't disconcern myself, you know, with that, Joe. You know, my wife tells me all the time, you're just going to spread yourself too thin. You know, well, it's just.
But if you don't know who's going to do it.
Well, I just feel that I can make a difference, and I do. You know,
and you do.
I'm not coming. I'm not going nowhere if I don't. You know, and that's the concept,
right?
Well, do you try to recruit other people into your organization that can do the same thing so that you don't have to spread yourself out too thinly?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
it's
you
like
know,
besides
the price,
like
don't do it.
Teeth.
You won't nobody
it's
do
like
it.
Pulling teeth. It's like pulling teeth because it's called commitment. A lot of people don't want to do the commitment until.
Exactly.
Until they something happen with their kids, and then now here they call. Mr. Parks, this is what happened out here, and that's it. You know, and I listen to them and stuff, and if they ever tell me and stuff that they know that their kid didn't do that, then I'm just saying, okay, well, what you don't need to do is you don't probably need to go talk to the administration, and if you feel that they did your kid wrong, you can appeal it. There's an appeal process that you can go through. I'll walk them through that. I would put them directly involved with the district where they can do that super fast and in a hurry. But 90% of the time and stuff, it was always something that the parents failed to do. They probably didn't one of the scheduled bridges and stuff.
Yeah. When I was growing up, the philosophy that I was ingrained in was that it's on your shoulders. Do it. There's no such thing as the dog ate my homework. There was no such thing as I couldn't do homework. There was no such thing as that I want to go outside before I do my homework. There was no such thing as the teachers were wrong. It was always on me. That's just.
I came up the same way, Joe. My sister used to beat my ass. My sister used to do that. when I got home and stuff, that's the first thing she wanted to see. My sister, my older sister, you know, because my mama, she was out trailing, she was a groupie for Muddy Waters and Ray Charles now, you know. My sister used to make sure that we got me and my brother. That's the first thing and stuff. You know, oh, you don't know this? And if she didn't know it, then she got my oldest brother or my aunt, somebody and stuff, to sit down. And then she never, if I did something in school, JFB was elementary school, no one forget that. If I did something in that school, that teacher called her, and then she came over there, and then she would take care of it. You know,
now, there was no such thing like that with me. You know, if it was one strike and you're out. Never got a call from a teacher. Because I knew what would happen. Because my parents, they, you know, it was no such thing as, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. It was,
you just got
Joe,
me down, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Now, as a result of that, I learned discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should have been. Now, you don't like it at times because, you know, you figure your parents are harsh, but you listen to them. There was no such thing as any other influence but my parents. If I embarrassed my parents, I was going to know about it.
Right.
I feel you.
But I also believe that the children should fear. Now listen to me, fear the parents, but the parents should also make that child feel special when that kid comes home from school and make that kid feel like you're part of the family simply because you're here. You don't have to do a damn thing except you're born. But when you do that, the child hasn't. All children have innate curiosity. They love to learn. If you can just motivate them, keep them on that momentum where they're learning, they love to learn, they're going to grow up and become pretty damn good school students.
Yeah,
you also need to push
especially kids now. Now, they are so smart, man. You talk to these third graders and second graders, when a class of second graders and stuff, they already knew what my topic was going to be. They already knew who I was and stuff, you know. And I said, oh, my God, the teacher done prepped them and stuff. I said, yeah, well, you know, they just wanted to know who you doing. I said, you're United States Army retired veteran. I said, oh, my God. You know, that makes me
good. You know, I wouldn't be good in your organization because I know how to be diplomatic. But my diplomacy threshold is low. And I would just tell the parents, how much time are you spending with your child?
What you're saying works. What you're saying works and stuff. It's just that sometimes we had to use a good cop, bad cop. I use people like that. I used to get the police chief to go on a kid made. Kid did something stupid and stuff. I had the police chief and stuff to come over there and talk with the parents and stuff about the kid and stuff. And he standing up there and got his four stars and stuff on his thing with his cap on. You know, that's pretty menacing and stuff for a kid. And sometimes he go the other way. But what I want him to see is that you don't want to go through this at this early age. You know. Some kids is already too far advanced for them. I'm talking about 10, 12-year-old kids already been there, already did that, already had some of their friends and stuff killed because of gangs and stuff, and they're in traditional gang families and stuff, and they already see that. So that kind of thing don't work for them. You know, what motivates
For them, I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah, what motivates them kind of kids and stuff that's already involved and stuff is figure out what they like. They like these low-rider bikes, and they like to see these low-rider cars and stuff. You know, then you transfer that and say, oh, well, I know a guy that build these kind of cars and do these kind of things. But if you want to get involved in that and not rob them and not go in and break or do anything, they're going to let me know, you know. And some kids
I'm talking to
got out. you know.
I was talking to a next con, right? And then though, the other day. And he was saying, he was telling us about why he went to prison. He said he went to prison because, not just because of the game, because they got respect. And I said, you know what? I'm sure you got respect in the neighborhood. You probably got the respect of the little, you know, I didn't say hood rats, but I should have said hood rats, you know, in the neighborhood. But now I'm sure you realize you leave your neighborhood, nobody gives a rat's ass about you. So how does that, how's that working out for you?
Yep. And some of them actually need to hurry up and get, but the economic situation and stuff is that they can't. You know, they can't just up and move. And then those gang numbers, once they get jumped in, Joe, it's just kind of useless.
Yeah, I know. You can't come out. I know that.
Yeah. It's kind of useless.
Is,
but you can move.
Yeah.
If the parents move and get to
that's
another
what
location,
I said.
You know, that might work.
That's right. Because once
so
you're a member of the gang,
you can't
come out.
You.
Oh, yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
No.
But see, that's again the parents' responsibility. If you're in a neighborhood and the gangs are either you were there, and the gangs were there at the same time you were there. Let's say you grew up in the neighborhood, or they came in. You move your ass out of the neighborhood. You save up money. If it takes you 2 to 4 or 5 years, that's what you do. It's called hard work.
Yeah.
People are not patient enough. If they're not patient, then it's their problem.
That's
life
what, that's
is hard.
Way, but I've seen parents and stuff, man, you know, that are in such situation and stuff, you know, that the parents were actually gang members. Okay, so that puts them in a predictable gang. Yeah, that's
right.
Puts
they
them into
they
a
want
condition.
Their kids in the gang as soon as they're born.
Yeah.
So there's probably no hope for them.
And they'd be all flying, the whole damn family be flying colors and shit. You can go by their house, okay?
Watch them out.
See that you know exactly who they are and stuff. And when something happened in the neighborhood, the police always know where to go, you know?
Yeah, well, look, it's like that with the mob, too. You mean you're in an Italian immigrant neighborhood, and the mob is there. You don't even have to be an immigrant anymore. And the mob is there, and the kids see the mobsters, you know, getting away with murder, literally murder. They want to become a mobster. Now, there are kids who go through with it. Yeah, but if you notice, most of the people in gangs, okay, some gang leaders, they may have some leadership qualities outside of being a gang member. But most people who end up in gangs are dumber than hell.
Yep.
And that's still the parents' responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care.
And they just want followers. They just want people to go out, jump
that's
them in,
exactly
and they do what I say. You got to do what I say. I want you to go paint this building up and stuff, and I want you to go burglarize.
If they're following the gang leaders, they can follow their parents.
That's right. But they won't because the parents have less influence than the gang
leaders. I agree with that.
You know.
That's why they move out of the neighborhood.
Yep.
Well, fellas,
that's
it's been a wonderful evening. Been a wonderful evening. We got to wrap it up.
Thank you, Miss Inez.
We got to wrap it up.
Joe, man, it's always nice talking to you. You know,
how I come in here.
Your wisdom, Joe. Listen to me. Your wisdom counts. You know, your wisdom counts because
don't tell him that.
We are really not.
What do you mean, don't tell him that? I'm a very wise person, I guess.
I'm just telling you the way it is because when people talk to you and they listen to you, you don't cut corners with them. You know, you got so many people that are selling crap and stuff. That's how I was glad to hear that you wanted to get these politicians and go at them. That's what I love. I love to see politicians.
Oh, you should hear me when I have a politician in front of me.
We're gonna have that topic for another day because we gotta wrap up or else we're gonna be here for another 2-3 hours. But as far as the education for the school, my Ontario caller sent a link, and it's www.education.com, and I went to that, and it's like limitless world of learning. So I may have to go in that myself. I don't know if I need a teacher's code or whatever to get into it, but that seemed like, you know, for learning for, I'll just say learning for dummies, but anyway,
I got some sites too you might want to go to that I've been researching. They're pretty good. Kids and parents can go on those sites everything they want to learn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, hey,
mm-hmm.
Joe, nice talking to you. Good luck to you.
You too, Mr. Barnes.
I'll talk to you guys later on.
You're trying to get off the line because you don't want to say the prayer after. I see how you are. And then,
Joe, you have to be a preacher to say a prayer. Let Joe pray. Joe can pray for us.
I don't pray.
Joe doesn't. He prays on people. He prays for people.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm ready.
You see, Mr. Parks, the way she talks to me. You hear that?
I love you, Joe.
What are you talking to me?
Oh, that's why you. That's why
you
talk to me like that. Okay.
You don't hear what she's talking to me.
Because I can, because I talk to all y'all like that because I can, because we've been talking with like you brothers, sisters in Christ and the earth. So you know.
All right.
Because we can, yes. Because we know, I think we know each other.
Just remember, I can talk to you like that
feeling.
Too.
I know how to put you on mute, though.
Oh, yeah, see, that's the whole thing. I know, you got the mute button, so there you are, the high commander. You hear the way she talks to me, Mr. Parks? She says, don't talk to Joe like that. He's not that wise.
Yeah. I have learned to save money. I made from babysitting, paper routes, and mowing lawns by asking one question before making a purchase, like clothes, makeup, etc. Do I need this item or is it something I want? I save a lot of money just doing that type of thing. So, and then also Being Scared Straight, you know, I used to watch that show of Being Scared Straight. It scared me sometimes. But building confidence by letting them know that they have potential to do great things and that is why they are important. So I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
From Ontario.
Be there for them, too. Can't be an absentee.
Right, exactly.
You got to be there for them.
There you go.
She also said that there's no code to get in www.education.com. It's free, so I may have to take some classes so that I can get my bachelor's because I'm just like one class away or whatever of getting my bachelor's. So I'm going to get that before I'm 75. Ha, 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 ha. But I want to thank each and every one of you all for joining us this evening. We had some great conversations. Thank you, Ontario, for joining us from my West Coast to my East Coast to everybody who's in the middle, thank you for joining us. The announcements for today, as we have Communion Service on Sunday, First Sunday, with Reverend Carolyn McCullough out of Arlington, Texas, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday, it's me. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, we have Bible study with the McCulloughs, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And on Thursday, we have A View of the Kingdom, a woman from Pine Bluff. They're wonderful women. They weren't feeling too good today, so they didn't come on today. And they're out of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And support our very own Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away From God album through iTunes, CD Baby, and Amazon, and all other music media. So let's keep Do It Radio on the air by Cash App at $ANA, ISE, VALCOUR, that's $ANA, ISE, VALCOUR, and donation is fine. I'm not greedy. We're just needy so that we can keep this on the air. And if you have a topic you want to discuss, go ahead and email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com and talk about us on all your social medias, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Telemam, TikTok, Don't Rock, Don't Stop, Get It, and so everything like that. And you can always listen to an episode again and again and again on www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio. And you can listen to any of the episodes that we've had and see what's going on and what's coming up. So, again, thank you all for joining us, Mr. Joe, Mr. Park, Miss Ontario, for joining me this evening, for Mr. Bobby out of Maryland, and for my ride and die Rhonda out of Maryland as well. So we had East Coast and West Coast people. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and people in the middle as well. They're out there listening. Again, if you have something on your chest, let's get it off your chest, and we can talk about it on Let's Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it on Tuesday evening. And so just hit me up at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. I have been your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Valcou Designs at www.anaisevalcour, and the same on Facebook. You can reach me, teach me, get me. And we just thank you again, Mr. Parks, for bringing us those wonderful topics on everything under the sun, basically. So think about all of us and what are we doing. And if you're going to be doing anything, be kind and double deuces up. And I won't make Mr. Parks do a prayer because I know how scarce he gets. So we want to thank each and every one of you for joining in. I will just do my regular do it all in the mall prayer. And again, I just really appreciate everybody joining us today. And yeah, Gnabbit, you know, you never can find that when you want it because you do something dumb. But I did something dumb. Well, but anyway.
All right. Well,
hey.
Okay. Well, good, and there's so Mr. Parks. Good night.
Yes, sir.
Safe.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Thank you, everybody.
Lord
Thank
Jesus,
you.
We ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good night. Be safe.